UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Bobby V. It is Eric C. and Perrin Johnson. I don't know what's going on around here. I wash my hands in that sink. I just listened to a half an hour about about Nick micturating in a sink. I wouldn't know that word if not for the Big Lebowski. Perrin, I'm glad you're here to bring some class to the place. The man who single-handedly carried Louisville to a victory in the 2005 regional semifinal against Washington. I'm glad you're here.
It came off like that if you looked at the USA Today.
Hey, that's I was writing too. I was covered that game, the Courier Journal, and you were the story, man.
Nah, it was kind of funny. I came in the game, I got a key play when we were making a run in the first half, and then the next day we're eating breakfast and Coach Pitino takes like 25 USA Todays and puts it in my chair. And then I just laugh hysterically because of all the guys we had on the team that were just superior players, Ellis, Larry, Francisco, Taekwon, Brandon, Otis, they got me on the cover. So it was a good ironic laugh that we all had.
You played your part, which is more than most of us can say about anything at this point. And that's, I'm just going to try and play my part today on the radio because there's this place, I'm afraid it's coming apart at the seams just from listening to some of the stuff. But we're going to talk about various things. I have no idea that the Kentucky Sports Figure of the Year would be any kind of a controversial thing. Mm-hmm. I figured Lynn Bowden would win it. Three of the top six are from Louisville. That's pretty good. We might get into that a little bit, but I don't know. You and I have just talked here before going on about what's going on with this basketball season. It's we're college basketball crazy here, and yet the juices are just not going. And then lately, maybe this I'm kind of like you, just this whole Kobe Bryant thing. It's hard to have that going on in your head at the same time as a lot of the sports stuff and trying to kind of amp yourself up.
Yeah, no, for me, especially being from L.A., I mean, me and you were just talking before we got on here about how I took my dad to the last season Kobe ever played. I took him to the Golden State Warriors game for his birthday, and it was a great experience. I'm glad I got to see Kobe play. That's when D'Angelo Russell, who went to Central High School for going to Monteverde from Louisville, was playing, and I got to talk to him and chatted up with him. And it's just, it's hard. I'm a guy that watches sports every night, kind of like you, I'm sure. So when those things happen, I've kind of just taken a step back from sports, and I've watched more Netflix probably in the last 3 days than I have probably in the last 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, crazy. It's been some emotional stuff. If you watched, the TNT or TBS coverage of their hour-long special and Shaq and those guys talking, it's emotional stuff. And it's emotional stuff for guys younger than me. I kind of recognize. I talked to some people yesterday. I mean, I'm affected by it because it's an athlete. He's younger than I am, and it's just such a jarring thing. But you know, for so many people, he was more than just a basketball player. He was somebody looked at as a, and even in his post-playing career, he was beginning to become this voice. I appreciated his voice for women's basketball and what he was starting to do with his daughters. You know, from a sports standpoint, that was a very valuable thing. So it's been a tough, stretch.
No, it's been increasingly hard. And the more you find out about the details, like, They missed that ridge by 20 to 30 feet.
Yeah.
Like, what if they just had 20 or 30 or more feet to clear that ridge? The gentleman that had the video of the chopper that kept circling and it was really low and he couldn't understand why, so he decided to record it not knowing it was Kobe Bryant. That's a kind of an interesting thing to me as well. But for me, it's just like it goes back to what you said. One of the things that Shaq said is like he's really sad because Kobe's finally eligible for the Hall of Fame. And we're not going to be talking about him and old war stories and having fun and laughs. It's going to be about how he should still be here. And that's kind of that's really sad to me. It's really sad that night won't be celebrated. And you've been around just as much as I have. I mean, this isn't like Drazen Petrovic, or it doesn't feel like a Lynn bias. It feels almost worse. And then I don't know what to do with this. Like, I haven't watched. The NBA was on last night, and I didn't give two rats about it. Normally, I watch NBA every night. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. No, it's had an effect, and it'll have an effect on fans all over. And it's important that I think we kind of acknowledge that going into this. That's where we are right now. And I've been really just talking to, and you're not the only one I've talked to who's just kind of walking a little bit, not in a daze maybe, but just in kind of a little bit of a cloud, just processing things more than maybe you realized it would at the time.
Yes.
I mean, you talked about being there with your dad, you know, in his last season, and you just don't, you're not prepared for, you know, when you think back on some of those things to deal with them. So
no, yeah, not at all.
It's interesting. But we will get on with the subject of sports, and we will, because that's what we do. And some of the Louisville women's players, the night he died, they talked about it right before the game, and they had a little connection with Kobe because he had tweeted out with the L's up just a couple weeks before. He had taken his daughter to see a girl who had a player who had has signed with Louisville, and they were holding the L's up with her. And you know, even and you know, some of these women's players, they're looking up to the men's game a lot and seeing these NBA guys, and at the one time they're playing and sad about it, at the other time you make a great play and you celebrate it, and it's just a weird mix of emotions that you have, and that's kind of what we're all looking at. So we will take a look at the sports news of the day. Hope you will stay along with us and join in if you want to. I don't have the text line. You guys know what the text line is. I don't know what the number is. You got it memorized? We'll get that to
437-9680
is the UPS jobs text line. If not, I can just read all the texts that Locke got through the show and go back through what all he said, because that's pretty entertaining. I mean, I think that, you know,
triggered a lot of people.
You know what? You could put the text line online, you know, profanity and all, and probably be all right. And, you know, put it up with the stream of the shows. That would probably work pretty good too. I mean, Locke's taking on everybody. He's taking on women's basketball. You know, the one thing about women's basketball, I'll say, I'm not going to get off on this too much, but the Louisville women, you know, they drew 11,000 for their last game. So you can't tell me that nobody cares. There's people coming. It's not what the men's game is drawing. But the two most interesting basketball games this week are probably Louisville's women going to Notre Dame and Louisville playing the U.S. women's national team on Sunday. Now, they won't draw the attendance that men draw. But, I mean, I'm more interested in what Louisville does at Notre Dame than what I think I know Louisville's going to do at Boston College in the men's side.
Yeah, and on top of that, it's a late-night game, too, on Chestnut Hill. Boston's a great sports town from a professional standpoint, but from a college standpoint, it kind of doesn't get – I mean, there's nothing to really get excited about with Boston College. They historically aren't always good. They haven't been good since Al Skinner was the coach. And then it's just a school that people don't really think of much. I mean, the ACC is – we were talking a little bit about this. The ACC is down this year. There's not a lot of great games you want to watch.
No.
And I don't know how many people are going to stay up and watch Boston College. I feel like, you know, I'm going to watch the game because I'm going to watch the game. And obviously I'm going to talk about the game. But if I don't know if I would – a lot of people are going to be watching this game at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
No. I mean, it's a lot like – it reminds me of some of those AAC seasons where you're going, you know, you just expect to win most of the games. You're, you're looking, I mean, they're playing, you know, one more game all season that they're not going to be favored in probably, and that's at Florida State. I mean, the rest they're supposed to win, and that's nice if you're Louisville. You're going to finish with a really good record and a really good team, and a team's got a good chance that anybody do something in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, the game against North Carolina isn't what it was. There's some intrigue about these Virginia games because you'd like to see them finally beat Virginia and do, you know, just do it because you have to do it before you can do it again.
Right.
So, you know, there's a little bit of intrigue, but, you know, we're all waiting for the tournament.
No, I mean,
that's basically it.
That and the AC, even the ACC tournament. Yeah. I mean, I think the ACC tournament, you know, we beat Duke at Duke. That's something we've never done, obviously. And then when you look at Carolina, they're not who they are. You're talking about possibly playing a first round matchup.
Yeah,
with Carolina.
Yeah, it's a road game.
yeah, down there in Greensboro.
Yeah, it's a road game. And it's not just any road game. It's right in the middle. I mean, it's right there.
Yes.
It's like, you know, it's like going to play UK in Bowling Green or something.
I mean, exactly.
It's about that. And now, Richmond or Greensboro is bigger than Bowling Green. I'm not a big fan of Greensboro. I appreciate the history of it. But, you know, at this point, they're going to bring it back there. I just wish they wouldn't bring it back as often because – I think it's a better setup if you're in Charlotte or and I won't even say setup. I just think it's a little more fair to get it in the bigger cities where, you know, you might get a more diverse crowd. But those are going to be North Carolina crowds when you play them in Greensboro. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how good they are. Doesn't matter anything else. It's going to be, you know, 10-1 Carolina fans in the village. So it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I tell you what, if I had my choices or if I put in my 2 cents on it, if they gave me a vote, I'd move it to New York because I think New York just makes sense. The media market, you got people from Boston all the way down to Miami, like, or go to Miami. Miami in May and March is
that's
great.
Pretty good.
I mean, you can't complain with that. I take that any day of the week. You already got the Orange Bowl down there. I'm sure the Orange Bowl committee people can talk to the ACC, you know, people and get that down there because Miami in March is. It's everything. And then spring break's already there. It's a 2-1. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, I didn't go when it was in D.C. It wasn't my year. And this is not my year. I think this is Rick Bozich's year. So he'll get to enjoy Greensboro. And I'll probably be in Nashville for the SEC tournament. But
which is more fun?
You know, Nashville is a better city.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a better place to be.
Take the sports away. Yes.
I'm not complaining about that. I would think D.C. would have been okay.
Yeah.
And Charlotte's okay. I mean, it's not great. The setups, I got no complaint about the city, hotels, whatever.
Right.
But Locke to argue that Greensboro and Louisville are on any kind of equitable, like, restaurant social setting or anything, that's ridiculous.
I've been
to Greensboro. It's not. It's not. I mean, it's a nice place, nice people. He's right. But, I mean, he says, well, the newspapers cover the game in Greensboro. Who cares what the newspapers got? I don't care. You know, that's not a plus. They'll cover it if they were to come to Louisville, too. But they're never going to come here. So, but again, we're just kind of waiting. I think Louisville, you know, I think David Johnson injected a little excitement into this.
Yeah.
Because he's starting to really come on, and I think if that continues, it'll give a little more buzz to what they're doing this season. But you know, it's just this way all around college basketball. The stars are not there, some of the marquee programs are not there, and it's kind of fun to have one Cinderella, but to have six or eight in the top 20, that's different.
No, I mean, you know, typically coaches' kids, you don't see them become really good players, or they're. They'd be good at a mid-major or a low-major. Brad Calipari left Kentucky to go play at Detroit. But one of the silver linings I think is kind of cool, Buddy Boeheim and what he's doing at Syracuse has been really interesting to see how he's been playing. There's no real, like, things. There's no great things that you like, but there are a lot of good feel-good stories, I think, around the conference. But I think that's my favorite one around the conference. Buddy Boeheim going out there playing for his father and putting up numbers.
Yeah.
Him, that backcourt is combined for 37 points a game. That's a really interesting thing. But like you said, there's no clear-cut favorite team. Even as we sit back and we watch Gonzaga be what they are and San Diego State be who they are, do we really believe they are that good? I don't necessarily feel that way. Baylor's great, but I mean, they got a lot of great wins. And then, when you know, Texas Tech, their best win is Louisville. But when you look at their games against the top 100, they're like 1-7 out, and the Louisville's the only win that they have. So there's a lot of fool's gold out there as well. You got to watch out for as well.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, one thing the ACC does have is Mike Krzyzewski, and he made the news last night. It wasn't any game. I mean, you know, Virginia, Florida State. That's interesting. That's a good game for Louisville. Florida State now goes a game back, and they still got to go to Duke. So Louisville's got a really good shot to win the ACC. Up year, down year, that'd be a huge accomplishment if you're the ACC regular season champion. But beyond that, we all know by this point, if you're on social media, what Mike Krzyzewski got a little testy with the Cameron Crazies because he thought that they were disrespecting a former player, Jeff Capel, coach of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Turns out they weren't, I don't think. But that, in the heat of the moment, Mike Krzyzewski was, it was kind of bizarre to see him go after his own crowd like that and then realize after the game, oh, I'm sorry, my bad. Here's what he said after the game. Yeah. Or maybe. I could impersonate Krzyzewski a little bit.
You got it there, Nick?
He's looking for it.
Yeah, no, give me one sec.
He's looking for it. All right. No one.
Well, to give everybody an idea, Coach K went after the, if you didn't see it, he went after the Cameron Crazies because they were chanting things at Jeff Capel because he said Jeff Capel's one of us. And I understand what Coach K is on the side of the fact that when you're a player, you're a player at a university, and people always associate you with that university, and they want you to stay loyal to your university and do all these things for the university. But at the end of the day, Jeff Capel can't coach at Duke forever. Coach K's still there. So he has to continue his career and rise to the ranks because at the end of the day, when you look at Carolina and you look at Duke, all those schools want to hire people within their quote-unquote brotherhood or family.
Yeah, they don't like to go out.
So if you look at Carolina, of all the guys that you would – if Roy Williams decides to retire today, who would you hire? Yeah. Like, they don't have anybody in place. Same thing with Duke. They got a lot of guys that are doing things. But, you know, Coach Collins at Northwestern, you know, obviously Coach Capel at Pittsburgh. But they don't really have a guy that's wowed you and says he deserves that job. So one of the things he said is that guy's one of ours, and for him to go to bat. But a lot of these kids don't know Coach Case.
No.
I mean, don't know Coach Capel.
No,
because he played at Duke in 19 what?
Long time.
90
ago.
What's he? 1993, 94. So he's 44 years old. These kids are 19, 20.
He played at Duke before you played at Louisville.
Yeah.
Long before.
I was, you know, that was back in the day when ESPN used to do that doubleheader, that, you know, that big Monday and stuff. They don't. That's when I grew up watching him when I was little. So I know these kids don't know him.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Here's what Coach K said, I think.
I apologize for the, you know, but, you know, let's think of a different cheer. Let's put it like defense. Yeah, let's go. Come on, Duke. You know, let's go, Duke. Come on. You know, you leave the other guy alone. And so.
They've been going after the other guy there for how many decades? I mean, that's crazy. But
I was gonna say, Cameron is known for being
that's what
rowdy.
They do. They're not, and they weren't. I mean, I had one of them's knees in my back for the whole game that Louisville played here this year. The one thing, I didn't think they said anything inappropriate. I just thought it was a lot of it was kind of funny or whatever. It was no worse than you hear anywhere else. So I didn't have a problem with it, but they were yelling, "Come sit with us." That's what they were said. They were chanting.
Yeah.
What I mean, what's that? That's nothing.
Well,
that's
no,
almost
that's
friendly.
That is nothing. From a guy that played over outside the country, over in Europe and Asia, I've been spit at. I've had things thrown at me. American fans are very light. I, you know, especially after being out the country and going to other sporting events for other sports such as soccer. I went to the Boca Juniors River Plate game when I played Argentina. People, like 300 people died in that game, like at one point, like because of the rivalry. So when people, American sports, I get where Coach K is going, and then he wants the respect factor to be a play, but I will never worry about going to an American sporting event in my life after being at a European soccer game or a South American soccer game for that matter ever again. Coach.
Yeah,
so.
And we might talk about officiating a little bit later, but the refs in FIFA will do press conferences sometimes. They don't get off. They have to kind of sit there and answer questions sometimes. Yes. So for people here, it's a lot different culture over there. The text line is starting to fire up a little bit. The UPS jobs text line 437-9680 if you want to get in and respond to anything.
Oh, I forgot, Eric. It's We Want to Know Wednesday.
It is also We Want to Know Wednesday.
So
I have an example. I'm usually a guest on Wednesday, and I usually try and come with one We Want to Know Wednesday example. I do have one. We will accept your We Want to Know Wednesday facts. I'll get that started maybe after the next break or whatever. But we do have some texts that we want to get to. Texter says, is Tony Bennett pulling off the Calipari tweak? Is he getting Virginia going a little bit? Which I kind of wonder if they won't steadily get better at this point. I've been waiting for them to get better. But they really struggle shooting the ball, so I don't know. I don't know how much you can tweak because they're already pretty good defensively.
Yeah, he does a great job with his pack line defense. So, you know, you see pack line here, and then you want to go watch some more pack line defense, go watch Virginia play. I think it's his best coaching job ever. You know, like last year, I think Chris Mack's best coaching job he'll ever do at U of L was last year.
Yeah.
And people are like, what are you talking about? Because when you inherit something, you have to shape it and mold it like Play-Doh or clay or whatever you want to use to fit and mold and give you the best chance to win. So he doesn't have the horsepower. He lost Guy Jerome. He lost the kid from Kyle Guy. He lost a lot of guys. DeAndre Hunter. He lost Jack Salt. He lost four guys. And like guys don't leave early when they go to Virginia. DeAndre Hunter leaving early was kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I think right now, he is really coaching his tail off, and when I say that, I mean this. He's not winning games by talent. He's winning games by guys drawing up stuff, X's and O's, and guys listening to him and executing those things. And it's really – if you're a basketball savant, like, they're really fun to watch. Yeah. And they're nothing special. They're just a good old filet and some potatoes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and Mac, you know, you look at what Mac's doing. I mean, it's the same team basically this year with a couple of additions, and you lose the grad transfer, but it's – you know, they were not recruited to do some of the things that Max was trying to get them to do. It's a completely different, and it's not just a little bit different either. It's a whole different mindset. It's don't go after steal. We don't care about deflections. That's as different as you can get from what these guys, you know, were getting drilled into them and what the program has had. So that takes time. And this year it's been a little better. They're starting to get into the kind of the mold that they want. But it's hard to do that until you have a team of guys who have been brought up in that culture or whatever you want to call it. It's hard to get that change made.
Yeah, and fit what you do.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. You know, one of my favorite teams that he had at Xavier was the team where he had the two Holloway kid. And he had the Mark Lyons kid. Mark Lyons ended up doing a grad transfer year to Arizona. And Tu Holloway, I think, graduated. That was one of my favorite teams he had. And then he has great success when he has two guys at the one and the two that can both bring the ball up because like either one of those guys can initiate the offense. And while we have that here, they're not guys that he necessarily recruited. Like, so I'm just happy that David Johnson is what he is because I was a little nervous about this freshman class for next year because I don't think Jordan's coming back. And Ryan McMahon graduates, Stephen Enoch graduates. Yep. So you're going to have a lot of guys that have to step up. You know, some people believe Samuel Williamson was going to be a one and done. I think he's a 2 or 3 year guy. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, David Johnson, with his emergence, and now we're seeing him play himself into shape.
Yeah,
it's almost kind of a great thing that the ACC isn't that strong.
Yeah.
So those guys, as they get to learn and be some of the things that they are going to be, they can get their feet wet without going against a juggernaut that's just not going to help them get better or grow at all or build any confidence.
No, it's a good year not to be in the Big Ten, say, and have to go play in that road, you know, in that fire every week, every game, every time you leave home. More text from the text line, UPS Jobs text line, 437-9680. Parents game against Washington is the reason I wear cardigans, sweaters, every winter since.
So, that's a thing. So
yeah,
if anybody that knows me, that person must really know me because I always wear a cardigan.
As a Q's and U of L fan, I get questions about Buddy being nepotism all the time, but he is a star.
No, he's a star. I'm telling you, he's really playing his tail off. It's something that nobody's talking about, and you got to be happy for Jim Boeheim because, you know, obviously last year he had that incident where he hit that man on the side of the road. So, I mean, you know, he's enjoying the season again, enjoying basketball again. Syracuse is a team that nobody expected to be really that good at all. And they're off the bubble, and they're possibly going to play themselves into the tournament.
Yeah, they're you know, Virginia, Syracuse. And honestly, Louisville needs these teams to play themselves in to kind of give themselves a chance to have some tournament quality type wins as we get down toward the end of the season. Coach K says Texter is used to everything going his way. If one thing doesn't, he can't handle it. And, you know, he didn't like the lack of freedom of movement when Louisville beat him up there. It was like he called it like the prelim to the UFC fight.
No, that's exactly that's, what he phrased
yeah,
it as.
That's as he said it. Yeah.
But I tell you what, you know, and you've seen a lot of games this year and closing and up and up close and in person. So we're not a physically imposing group of guys.
No.
So I really one game that I'm going to watch that's not a Louisville game in the ACC, but I'm really looking forward to the Florida State Duke game.
Yeah.
Because if he thinks we're physical, he should watch the tape on that game because we got pushed around like some little school children.
Yeah.
So I really want to see what he does in that game.
No, and beyond that, in that Louisville Duke game, there were 53 fast break points between the two teams. That's a ton for a college game now. Teams don't run like that anymore. That game that game it wasn't up and down the court all the time, but both teams were able to get out on the break and score a lot.
And to piggyback off your point, you know, we play pack line defense. We're not a team that exactly goes to just run up and down the court.
No. It's that kind of speaks to Duke's defense, too, and not being what it should be. Texter says, Kentucky voting is a joke in all aspects of life, sad. I guess referring back to the Kentucky sports figure of the year, which I touched on earlier. I was not surprised. I thought Lynn Bowden was going to win. I just thought he was. Because in these awards, you got to understand, proximity means everything. It doesn't mean Lamar Jackson didn't have a great year. And Lamar's impact on sports in this state will continue. I don't think people realize kind of the income generator that he is. I mean, Fox has the Super Bowl. WDRB is a Fox station. How much more money they would make off the Super Bowl if Lamar Jackson had been in it? It would have been amazing. They still make a lot of money. It's not going to hurt him. But if he's in it in this market, he is such a – I mean, people just flock to it. They want to be a part of it. All their games are on the radio here. He drives a lot of revenue and things like that. He's very important. But, you know, Lynn played in the state. He played for the University of Kentucky. He became kind of a – He kind of built a legend for himself with what he did this year, and you can't, you know, that's going to get rewarded, and I'm not surprised.
Well, let's take it a step back further. You remember Eric when he first came to campus, and he was tweeting out about how he was mad that he wasn't playing a lot.
Yeah.
And it was a big stink because he was talking about the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Could you imagine going to your boss, like talking about your boss behind his back on the internet for everybody to see?
Yeah.
And then their boss is asked about what you tweeted out.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he went out and did. He's a trailblazer when you look at what he's done his whole career, from calling out his coach not to play him more, and then to see the results that he had at his position in the slot or wide receiver, and then he hasn't played quarterback in 3 years.
Yep.
He has to play it this year, and then he has success at that position, and Kentucky continues to win. Like, that's unthinkable. Nobody does that. He's done a hell of a job, and you got to tip your hat when it's due, and I really tip my hat to him and how he's played.
There is, in the state, you know, kind of an anti-Louisville feel out in the state. It's always been there, and it just is. But I don't think this was a case of anti-Louisville that Lynn Bowden won that award. Because I look at the top six in the voting. Scott Satterfield finished higher than Mark Stoops. Asia Durr finished higher than Ryan Howard. So there's three. Lamar was runner-up, and he didn't even play games in the state. He just has a connection to the state. So I didn't think it was any big conspiracy thing. I was not surprised for it. You know, so that's just how it goes. Got a text line. Perrin, you played at Morgantown. Aren't they pretty bad?
You know, I said the worst place I've ever been. Places that see there's trash talk and then there's like reasonable trash talk, like justifiable points. Villanova, the Northeast. People in Philly are brutal. When we played up there in the Big East,
next to me.
People in Philly are brutal. We played up in Villanova and Curtis Sumter went to the hole one time. I'll never forget it. And he gets an and one. And Coach Pitino goes, "That wasn't a foul. You got to be kidding me." And this guy stands up right there on the side on the baseline. He goes, "Shut the bleep up, Rick. He's an All-American. Do you know who you're dealing with? Welcome to Philadelphia and welcome to the Big East." It was our first year. And I was just like, damn. Like that. And then Coach looked at the guy, and then like he walked away, but you could tell he really wanted to give him the business.
Did he flip him off?
He didn't. Ask. He just stared through his soul. I'll say that. New York's pretty heavy. But Kentucky's pretty rough because that's a rival. But, like, West Virginia, Rutgers was bad and West Virginia was up there, but they weren't the worst because I didn't feel unsafe in West Virginia. I felt unsafe at Rutgers because the access to the locker room is right there by the bleachers and guys were saying stuff and trying to fight. That was one place that I didn't feel safe at. Nicest place I've ever been to is probably Notre Dame. They shot 60% that game, and they kicked our tails. But they're like, hey, welcome to Notre Dame. Right this way. Y'all have a safe trip back home. And they were so nice, and I was like, you guys suck. Like, you know, somebody's so nice. You just,
I want to hate you, but yes, I can't.
Exactly that. Kind of like Clemson fans with football.
Yeah, yeah. Tell you what, are we at break time? I believe we are. We've gone for a long time. It doesn't seem like 5 minutes, but that's what we do. We're going to get to a break. We're going to get back and talk a little more sports. Eric Crawford, Perrin Johnson in for the birthday boy. Bob Valvano on the V Show, ESPN 680. All right, we're back with the V Show. And V is not here. Well, Nick Valvano is here, but Bob Valvano is off. It is his birthday. In his place, Eric Crawford from WDRB. Perrin Johnson is in here with me. We've been talking a lot of college basketball and basically anything you guys want to. The UPS jobs text line is up and rolling at 437-9680. Also up is Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology. I see he's got Louisville as a number two seed going to the South in Houston. South Dakota State first round, possible second round matchup, either Marquette or Purdue. Mm-hmm. Michigan State lurking up ahead. He's got Kentucky as a four seed in the East. He's got San Diego State as the top, as the number one seed in the East. That tells you what kind of different year it is in college basketball. But Kentucky would have North Texas. Then they'd have an Akron team that we saw coming here play against Louisville or Creighton. In the, you know, Kentucky Creighton, a 4 or 5 second round game with San Diego State waiting on the other side, or potentially Arizona, maybe. And he's got Indiana in as an 8 seed. They would get number 1 seed Baylor right away if they were to win. That's just today. Doesn't mean anything. But we did have a question from the UPS jobs text line that says, would you rather get into, if you're either Kentucky or Louisville, get a better seed and wind up maybe in Indianapolis, or go out west and get maybe what's perceived as an easier road? At this point, you look at these brackets, I don't know what matters, but is geography preferable to ease of bracket?
I feel like getting away from where you're from is always a good thing. I think it puts more pressure on you to have success because you're away from everything you know and you want. Like if I was sent out to LA to play in the Western Regional, I would make sure I would put my tail off so I can make it to L.A. to the Western Regional. For me, that, like, I'm not playing, but just for example, I'm from L.A., so I would like to get to the end of that regional. Going out west to be the one seed would work perfect for me. However, if you go by what Lenardi has right now, you know, South Dakota State doesn't scare me. Michigan State scares me a little bit, and Purdue scares me a little bit. But outside of those teams, I don't really worry about anybody in that region. Baylor's tough, but they don't scare me. They don't scare me at all.
Yeah. I mean, Michigan State, Louisville's had pretty good success against Michigan State and would have had even better if they'd made one more free throw here a few years back.
Yeah.
But you know, that's they seem like they bump into each other, you know, every 2 or 3 years in the NCAA tournament. I think if you're Kentucky and Louisville, you just hope to not have to clash with each other too early, because that, you know, you like to do it late in the tournament, but you don't want to do it early. That gets to be too much of a circus sometimes in early in the NCAA tournament. Mike DeCourcy spoke to the station here yesterday, I believe, talking about the resumes for U of L and UK, and it's just a different year because U of L does not have a lot of marquee games down the stretch. Usually that's all they have with ACC is marquee games.
Yeah.
And Kentucky's got, you know, a handful of opportunities to improve its position and seating, but it's also got, you know, that bad loss to Evansville on the resume. But let's hear what Mike, who knows his stuff, and in fact, he's doing his own bracketology this year too, I believe, for the Big Ten Network. Let's see what he's got to say about
it. It's going to be more difficult for them to overcome Louisville by succeeding than it might be for if they were even for Louisville to pull ahead, or if Louisville somehow were behind, for them to do it by. Because what I'm saying is that the opportunity to get high-quality wins is greater for Louisville than it is for Kentucky, because Duke's out there.
Well, I mean, you know, Duke's out there. I don't think Louisville plays them again, but I see what he's saying. And he also talks about just the fact that neither team is in a great league, and while Kentucky and Louisville are pretty good teams, their leagues aren't doing them any favors this year.
I think that the both teams' leagues are letting them down to an extent, so it becomes really important for both of them to take care of all business. And when in the bracket world, taking care of business means you got to be who you're supposed to be. You can't take losses to teams you're not supposed to. They already did that with South Carolina. If they want to keep climbing, they can't take any more of those. Can they lose to Auburn and still climb? Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, that's going to be a quad one loss. It's not going to, you know, no one's going to say, how could you lose there?
Right.
But because of the bad losses, there's more pressure on Kentucky to succeed if they want to climb the bracket.
I think Louisville's got a good chance at a two, is what I think. Mm-hmm. I think if they win the ACC regular season and you know, I don't know what the tournament, I don't think you want to go out early in the tournament, but if you win the ACC regular season, history says you're going to be a one or a two. And Rick Bozich had a story, I think, yesterday, 13 out of the last 16 years, if you win the ACC regular season, you're a one. So even if this is a down year, you go down to a two line. But that's a really good seed for Louisville, and I think that's very doable when you look at the schedule they got and the fact that this is just not the ACC that we've seen in the past.
If you're a Kentucky fan, this might be something that you might not want to do, but you should be cheering for Louisville. And the reason why I say that is Kentucky's losses, their losses are bad losses. When you look at it, Evansville is 9-12. That's not helping them out. Utah's 12-7. That's not helping them out. And so, like he mentioned, the South Carolina loss as well. And so, and then the Ohio State. Ohio State's not that good. They've been struggling as of recent as well. So when you say those things, you need to cheer for Louisville because it's not gonna that you need to help your strength of schedule. Ohio State's 13-7. So you need some help and you need some people on your schedule to win out, especially in the conference play. Like you mentioned, conference is letting them down. Arkansas, you know, they beat Arkansas soundly, and they got to play them again. They got to play Georgia again. I'm sorry, they just played Georgia. They play Vanderbilt, then Auburn, then Mississippi State. So I just think that Kentucky's got to win out, and hopefully some people in their conference, like you mentioned, do them some favors. LSU, they're 22nd in the country. Can they continue on the pace they're at? I mean, Florida, could Florida become a better team? I mean, we don't know. A lot of people have Florida preseason top 10. So, I mean, and now to see where they're at now, I mean, you're just getting raked over the coals kind of with your conference.
Yeah. I mean, and for Louisville, I mean, Michigan was a marquee win at one point, and it's not standing up there so good. They're 12-8. I mean, and are they going to make the tournament? So it's tough. I mean, who do you beat down the stretch to kind of make your name? That game at Florida State is big.
Yes,
I think, and it's a tough game because they're going to play North Carolina on a Saturday, have turnaround play at Florida State on a Monday, so that's a really fast turnaround for them. I haven't looked to see. Florida State is going to play, and Florida State's got a road game at NC State on Saturday, and then they come home to play Louisville on Monday, so it's not going to be easy for them either. There's a lot on that game because it's a chance for Louisville to erase kind of one of its losses, and it's a chance to beat a top 20. You know, they're ranked higher than that, but if you look at the net, it's a top team that one more chance to win those before you get to conference tournament.
And one thing that to piggyback off of that is controlling your own destiny. You don't leave your destiny to somebody else's hands if them winning or losing any basketball games or how their conference schedule shakes out the rest of the year and yours does as well. So you're not sitting back watching like, okay, did they win? Oh, they won. Oh, did they lose? Okay, great. You don't have to worry about those things. I think it's a matter of controlling your own destiny. And this team can really do that, and I hope they understand the circumstances and the value of that. So, and because if you do those things that you need to do, you could be the number one seed.
Yeah, you know, there's that, and then there's also Louisville's got all these games. They got this one. They got, you know, you can just go right down the list of who they're going to have. NC State will be a tougher game, but yeah. Wake Forest, Georgia Tech, Clemson, Syracuse, North Carolina, all these games that don't really do you a lot of good from a resume standpoint to win, but they could hurt you a lot if you lose them.
Yes.
And there's something to be said for taking care of business when you have to. They lost at Boston College last year. How much danger? I mean, this looks like a pretty mature team, but it's also a team that, you know, doesn't really go on the road and dominate people. How much danger is there for this team in some of these games to kind of stub their toe and then, you know, get themselves behind the eight ball a little bit?
I tell you what, now that you mentioned that, we haven't done a great – our defense on our other team's guards kind of scares me at times. Pittsburgh has good guards. There's a host of teams that have a lot of good guards. And when you look at NC State, the game kind of scares me. Kevin Keats is a good coach. NC State's not the best team in the world, but they play everybody pretty tough. The Georgia Tech came in here and gave us a little bit of trouble. So that game on the 12th kind of scares me as well. And then Syracuse, you know, their backcourt is combined for 37 points per game. We haven't been exactly containing people a ton either. So that game makes me nervous as well. And even though those are games you're supposed to win, it kind of goes back to what you said. You have to make sure you handle your business and win the games that you're supposed to win. So
yeah, there are two ways to look at it. Number one is Louisville really hasn't had a bad loss this year. I mean, they haven't. They've won the games they're supposed to win. That's a sign of maturity. Or you can look at it like they haven't stubbed their toe yet. They're bound to stub their toe at some point against one of these teams they're not supposed to. And you don't really know which way that's going to go. But the job for Chris Mack tonight at 9 o'clock at night at Boston College is to take Boston College seriously. Maybe let's hear a little bit about what Chris Mack had to say about Boston College when he sat down with reporters yesterday for his regular pregame news conference. And we are hearing about it because I see Nick fingers, you know, moving furiously. I see the intensity on his face. You know, you guys, we got to get a WDRB deal where we like video these. You know, this
is telling you we need video. Yeah, I have it queued up there.
All right, let's hear what Max said.
Gotten healthy. You know, I think if you look at some of the previous games, they're missing 3, 4, 5 guys at a time, and you know, we know what a challenge it is when you miss one or two. You know, just trying to game plan and think about things that we were going to do when Malik was going to be possibly out against Clemson. I can't imagine having 4 or 5 guys that aren't able to practice, that aren't able to play in games. So they're finally getting to the point where they're healthy and getting some continuity. They've played really well the last two games. They should have won at Pittsburgh. At least they were winning almost the entire game and lost on a buzzer beater. And then they did the job against Virginia Tech, who's played awfully well this year. So that's more the Boston College team that we know we'll see.
I got to hand it to coaches, man, of you know, building up a team that has lost 4 of its last 5, and those losses are Georgia Tech, Syracuse, Wake Forest, Pittsburgh. Now, 3 of those were on the road. But, again, game Louisville's got to really – there's no excuse if you don't go in there and win the game.
No, I mean, my sophomore year we played against Tennessee State, and they weren't good. And we had to play them, and we all knew they were good, and we were kind of nonchalantly practicing. And Coach Pitino was so mad. And then he, like, kicked us out the gym. And then Kevin Willard, who's now the head coach of Seton Hall, said, look, we know that you guys know that they suck. But I promise you this. If you guys don't go out there and handle them, you know what practice will be like.
Yeah, that's exactly
there
right.
There will be hell to pay.
Yeah.
So with these guys, I think, not that practice fear is in there, or maybe it is, I don't know, but because Chris Mack is not like Coach Pitino in terms of obsessing over those type of things, I feel like. But I will say that if these guys lose this game, this will be one of those things where you sit back and if you can't beat Boston College on the road, then you damn sure can't beat a lot of these people on the road. Because Clemson they beat Duke at home, and you have to go to Clemson. That's something you got to say. North Carolina, I know they're not great. You should beat them, but they're playing hard. They're just not that good. So the question is, can we handle our business accordingly and do what we need to do?
Yeah. A much-needed note here from the UPS text line, 437-9680. Bracketology this time of year is crazy. A month ago, Ohio State was being talked about as the best team in the country. Where are they now? So much can change in the month. In honor of Bobby V, let the birthday cake bake.
Yes. The birthday cake needs to bake for sure.
I mean, that's a candidate for text of the day. I don't know.
What type of cake is Bob having today?
That's pretty good. Who knows what he loves? What is his favorite cake?
He loves strawberry shortcake.
Strawberry shortcake.
And then tiramisu, if you want to count that a cake. But as I turn my head away from the microphone in honor of Dad not speaking.
Bobby, well, yeah, I do that.
But he's on the Vitality program, as am I. So, we're limiting cake
he's
right
laying
now.
Laying low on the cake intake.
So but if I brought in like a strawberry cake, strawberry shortcake, or strawberry cheesecake,
we could eat the strawberries off of it. That'd be yummy.
Oh,
but
come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I sometimes cheat enough on it. And Sterling is my health coach is probably mad enough at me. So,
well, be a cheater.
You don't get off for your birthday. Is that the deal? You don't get. You gotta.
I am the Barry Bonds of this diet.
Like, you better be.
The problem with that is if you take a day off, is taking the second day off.
Yeah,
and that's it. I mean, and the good thing about those is you can get right back on the horse, or you can you know, slip again the next day and the next day, and then you're done.
Yeah. Vitality's awesome, and like they have a great coach. They get you back on the rails, so if you do that, they're like, all right, you screwed up. Eat this. Maybe it'll offset it a little bit. Please don't screw up anymore. Yeah. Eat this instead. And they're wonderful.
You
about
can always
that,
get back on the rails. That's the good thing. Yes. It's not, you know, you don't have to go back to square one. More from the UPS jobs text line. As a UK fan, I want an easier path than location. I think that's always been proven true. We've said years. I mean, when Louisville's, you know, fans are mad because they go out west, but the West has been very good to Louisville,
and, it has.
You can get a lot of damage done out there.
No, so. I mean, it's a great getaway, and if you're a Louisville fan, you get to go out west. The weather's great. Come on now.
No, they got to the Final Four in 2012 going out west, and that was a team nobody thought was going to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Nobody.
It was like the worst shooting team ever to make the Final Four.
Yeah, as bad as it gets. And that's why I look at a team like Virginia and think, well, you know, they're not going to the Final Four, but a team that can't shoot can still do a lot of damage. So that's watch. A texter says, after that absolute madness of the regular season, normalcy flips and the tourney is 3 weeks of straight chalk. Well, and we had a lot of that last year. We didn't have a lot of drama, but I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think it's going to – I mean, to me, the regular season in college basketball, as chaotic as it's been, has not delivered a ton of excitement.
No.
So I'm hoping that the tournament, maybe not because of that, just with karma, the tournament gives us some really thrilling stuff. I hope that's the case.
I think you'll see a lot more upsets than you've ever seen before.
Yeah.
Because you'll have these teams that'll have freshmen that are really talented, and then they'll play against a group of veteran guys from a small school, and people at that school will be able to celebrate and enjoy themselves and make a Sweet 16 that they've probably never made or haven't made in a while. I'm really excited to see a lot of that. But more importantly, if you're a UK fan, like watching Kentucky play, they've gotten better as the time's gone on. But sometimes I feel like if it's not a big game or a big moment, they don't really get too excited. So like a game like this Vanderbilt game, it's kind of nerve-wracking in itself. I mean, the game comes on at 6:30. You know, which is an odd time for some reason. I don't know why. It's on SEC Network, so TV does what it does. But do these guys get up and playing hard against Vanderbilt? They're 8-11. You know they're not any good. I mean, the coolest thing about them is Jerry Stackhouse is their coach, and Scottie Pippen's son plays for them. Outside of that, there's nothing to really be excited about with Vanderbilt basketball. So the question is, will these guys come out here and take care of business? Now, the question is, does Vanderbilt take a page out of Texas Tech's book? And one of the things that I noticed in the Texas Tech game, all those guys, because Maxey likes to go right, Quickly likes to go right, they sat on all those guys' right hands to try to take away their right hands, even though Nick Richards played a dominant game, and he's been dominant for a while for this whole year. I really want to see what's going to happen in this game. Do these guys have a letdown, or do they go out there and handle their business, and Ashton Hagans continues to prove why he's a defensive animal?
Yeah. And we've got to take Vandy in the points. Texter says, UK going to struggle with Vandy coming off Texas Tech win and looking forward to Auburn. I think Kentucky, they got a few more younger players, and they're a little more susceptible to that. But I still think in Rupp against Vandy, they still get it done.
Yeah, they should. I mean, Vandy's 0-6 in conference. You shouldn't have a letdown in this game if you have a letdown.
Yeah, they're not going to lose the game. I just, you know, the cover and all that, I don't think Vandy's going to be able to hang with them. And Kentucky's playing better. They're showing improvement. So
I tell you what, watching Nick Richards the last couple games, he's just been on a tear. He had 25 against Texas Tech. He had 20 against Georgia. He had 17 against Arkansas, 15 against South Carolina. I mean, he's been a double-double or on the verge of a double-double in the last five games. You got to really love how he's developed, because I don't think anybody expected him to be what he is this year.
Yeah. We're getting to the top of the hour. Let's go out on this, because we've been asked. If Eric, you and Perrin were forced right now to pick one team to win it all, who is it?
This is hard because my heart wants me to pick, obviously, Louisville, where we're ranked and who we played against. If I had to pick a team and I could not pick Louisville. I like Texas Tech as a sleeper, because they can defend, and when you can defend, you can always be in the game. Even though they're 1-7 against the top 100 in the net rankings and stuff. I also like Kentucky can get on a roll, because Cal always gets his teams on a roll this time of the year. Man, this is tough. I tell you what, but I really do. Two teams I like as sleeper teams are Baylor and West Virginia. I think Bob Huggins is quietly doing a good job, and nobody's really paying attention to it. I know West Virginia is 16-3, the 12th in the country. They are a team that nobody's paying attention to, as well as Seton Hall. Kevin Wheeler's been coaching his tail off. The Powell kid's back from the concussion, and he's been playing out of his mind. He's been really doing a hell of a job. He's averaging 21 points a game. I mean, he's a stud.
If I had to take one team today, man, it's hard because I was there when Louisville beat them. But if I were taking one team today, I would take Duke.
Yeah.
And then they have some problems. They're not a really great shooting team. And I think Louisville exposed some of the limitations they have. But Louisville's really good, too. I mean, you know, Louisville's got a shot. Yeah. I just don't – the guards at Louisville, you just – I'm still – here's the deal with Louisville. I'm just a few games away, a few more David Johnson, see how he develops.
Yes.
By the end of the year, Louisville might be the team I pick. And by the same token, Kentucky could be the team I pick by the end of the year because they've got really good guards. And Nick Richards is coming on. Do they, you know, do they keep moving forward because they've got some upside on that team? You know, both these teams.
Yeah.
And I think for Louisville, the key is the continued development of those two freshmen in Kentucky, just kind of working guys in. And is it, you know, how does it all mesh together, Sestina, and being more consistent? So it could be, you know, it's not the most exciting regular season, but it could be a real exciting postseason around here.
No, I mean, it would be a great Final Four. I mean, I'm telling you, I really like West Virginia and Baylor, but I think West Virginia's been a sleeper team. Lunardi has them in the as a two seed in his bracketology. And you know who nobody's talking about? And they've played Kansas tough, and I think that game went down to the wire as well, Dayton.
Yeah, Dayton continues to be, you know, that's good. And that's an interesting dynamic because that's, you know.
And they got a coach that's
Archie Miller leaves, and they continue their, you know, to do well. Yeah. And Indiana's still working on it.
Yeah, they got Anthony Grant up there, and Anthony Grant's been to the show, as I like to call it. He's been there before. He's been through the wars.
Right.
So he's not afraid, and, you know. That Opie Toppin kid who a lot of people got going mid to early first round in the draft is a stud. He's a sophomore from New York. Kid came to campus at 6'4". Now he's 6'9". Yeah. He's an animal. So I really pay attention to Dayton. They got a hell of a squad.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're going to get out for this hour. We're coming back next hour. But you're listening to Eric Crawford and Perrin Johnson on The V Show, ESPN 680 Louisville.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.